For tonight's guest, we will be speaking with Senior Chief Anthony Baldwin. He is newly retired after serving 26 years in the United States Navy, and he will be joining us live via telephone to talk about his experience over the years in the military, as well as mental health as a Black male. Hi, Anthony. Thank you for joining us this evening.
How are you, Dr. Wells? I'm doing well. How are you?
I am doing wonderful. Thank you once again for being a guest with us on tonight's show at Dr. O After Dark, where we keep it real, raw, and relevant. So I want you to come with it totally transparent, totally real, totally raw, and just come at it. How about that?
Easy day. Absolutely.
Wonderful. So as I was just saying, you are newly retired from the Navy after serving 26 years. Can you tell us a little bit about your experience in the Navy?
Absolutely. So I started off going to the Navy in December 1996. I decided to join the Submarine Force, which is kind of elite. Not a lot of people are approved to do that as a volunteer service. And one of the topics is as a Black male in the Navy, there's not a lot of brothers that serves on submarines. So my community is tight knit. You know, once you meet some brothers that you're tight with and kind of understand where you're coming from, your background, how you think, your mentality, you kind of stick together. But overall, my experiences on the sub force were amazing. So I served on submarines, one or two surface platforms, and then obviously shore duty. And then, as you mentioned, recently retired. Overall, enjoyed my naval experience, had a great time, made some lifelong friends, and wouldn't change anything about it.
Okay, wonderful. So you said that you were stationed on a submarine. And as you know, I am a United States Navy veteran as well. And when I joined in, there was a time where women were not allowed to serve on submarines. But I hear that that has recently changed. Can you tell me a little bit about that? Like, were women allowed on submarines when you joined in? If not, how was that transition?
So when I joined, that's when it first started. The conversations just started on allowing females on submarines. And it was never a question of a woman's capacity to work on certain equipment or do a job. It's because submarines are unique in that when we get underway, we're submerged. We're submerged for 6 or 7 months. There's no hidden ports. There's no communication with the home front or anything like that. You just locked inside this tube for 6, 7 months. And that can provide, you know, some troubles with logistics. Like, where are the women going to sleep? Because, you know, we only got room for like 125 sailors. The specific needs that women have, you know, each month, what we're going to do about that. You know, we can't flush used tampons down the toilet, you know, or, you know, however that goes. So there's specific logistic things that were a question back then, but as time passed, they've changed the platforms of the submarines and is able to facilitate having women on board. And from what I understand, besides a couple of instances where we have had some issues, it's been going well.
Okay, so what kind of issues?
I think any issues you would have when you have males and females together, you'll have the romantic entanglements where, you know, Johnny likes Sue, but Sue likes David. and you know they got that little triangle.
They're all submerged under the water together.
Right. You have the issues where the woman, you know, she can be just minding her business. She gets out the shower, and she's just trying to go back and get dressed. But you got people who are trying to videotape her in the shower or going from the shower to the birthing area. On one submarine, you had a group of sailors, I think it was a handful, that had a list of, you know, who they, you know, their fuck list, who they wanted to knock down with the female sailors on the ship.
Damn.
And that, yeah. And
a fuck list.
Yeah. They wrote down the list of all the female sailors and who they would want to or they was trying to knock down. And, you know, obviously, you know, it came out, and that's not the thing to do. This is your co-workers, this is your shipmate, and you know there should be a higher level of respect, you know, with that, and you know, having a list of females that you're trying to knock down. You know what I mean?
Wow. So this can go in so many different ways.
Yeah.
You know, when we think about the military and it being a man's game. And we hear all the stories of sexual abuse and sexual assault, military sexual trauma. And we want to get into all of that here. But as you were talking about this fuck list, I was sitting here and I was wondering, like, once it came out, would I be more upset that I'm not fuckable, like I'm not on the list? Or would I be, you know, like, y'all, I'm not good enough to be on the fuck list? Or, I'm offended because,
I understand. I understand the conundrum with that I shouldn't make the list. I should make top five. But at the same time, you know, seeing it for what it is, like, yo, y'all some pigs and y'all shouldn't be doing this, but yo, I still should have made y'all list. No, absolutely. I agree with you. I understand exactly what you're saying. Because I would be, yo, if I was on a boat with females and I wasn't in the top five, I'll feel some kind of way about that.
Top five, shit, I better be number one on everybody's list. But y'all better not try me, though.
I'm not gonna gas myself up. As long as I'm top five, I should be all right.
I believe you can make it to top five. Yeah, you can make it to top five. Y'all see how handsome this man is. So tell me, speaking of how handsome you are.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you for that.
You are so welcome.
Your check's in the mail.
I know. Tell me about your dating and marriage and things like that on a submarine. What kind of toll does it maybe take on, you know, your life? And I think Inquiring Minds wants to know, did you have a fuck list?
Well, no. When I was serving on board, I got married in 2005, so that was almost 10 years into my naval career. Now, my first 10 years, a part of that I was married, and then my wife I was with, I came back home from sea. That's a different story. Found out that, you know, she was still for the streets. Came home, saw pictures. That marriage ended. So it was over.
You said she was for the streets and you saw pictures?
Well yeah. I came home, like I said, this is back in like early 2000s, late 1990s, you know. And so we still had Polaroids back then and disposable cameras. So I came back home, kind of felt something in my gut wasn't right. Saw a disposable camera, took it to the little Piggly Wiggly or the Winn-Dixie grocery store, 1 hour photo, got the pictures developed, saw what was up, and eventually the marriage dissolved, and then I was kind of free after that, went out to Guam and, you know, lived my best life for a few years. But for about 10 years of my career, I was married.
Okay.
And my wife, at that point, she held it down. So if you have a solid mate, and you're serving in the military, then it's hard being away, but, you know, you don't have to worry about home. She took care of the house, took care of bills. sent emails, sent pictures whenever she could, sent gifts in the mail. So I never worried about home.
Okay.
With her, because she held it down. Now, I've heard horror stories. Okay. People who are married and, you know, they don't hear from their spouse, or they hear from another person's wife that, hey, I saw your wife, you know, with this dude or that dude, or this is going on, and, you know, and the dude's out to sea. He can't get home because he's underwater, but he's going crazy for 3, 4, 5 months because, you know, his wife is out there doing whatever, and then maybe kids involved. So he's like, man, who's at my house around my kids? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I've heard horror stories, but I was lucky enough that I had a responsible, loving wife that took care of home, and I didn't have to worry about any of that. I just did my job.
Okay. So that, going back to that fuck list, it sounds a whole lot like DMX's song. You got Keisha, Brenda, Rhonda, Renee, Olivia, Trina.
DMX was saying the same those names as, and those are the people he knocked down.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They don't know. They don't know.
This fuck list.
They want to knock him down.
No, that's what they want to knock. Exactly.
But it still sounded very, very much the same. They want to knock him down.
Well, that's different. Yeah, there's a difference between wanting to knock somebody down and then actually doing it. So.
Yeah. So let me ask you, how did you, so you said that, so the first time you found out that your wife was for the streets, and you found out through some disposable cameras and some Polaroids, and you laid them all out, and she was like, Shaggy, it wasn't me. Call me on the sofa, it wasn't me. Uh-huh. But then after that, you got married and you had a wonderful 10 years after being into the Navy, you got married for a second time. And
yes.
You had a wonderful marriage. So how
yes.
was it for you? I know you said that your wife was very supportive and things like
yes.
that while you were serving. How
yes.
was it for you being in a submarine for 6 months with women?
I mean, from at that time, in my mindset, you know, it was hard being away from her because, you know, I missed her. But, you know, we didn't have kids, so I didn't have that added, you know, I miss my kids, you know, aspect of it.
But what about, like, and, sexual desires with all these?
Well, I mean, we're underway, you know, and all my submarines, I've only served with guys.
Okay.
So, yeah, so there was no females on board when
okay.
I was serving. And the ports that we hit, I think we probably hit like three or four ports. That's about three, you know what I'm saying? Three port calls. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I on none of my deployments, I ever messed around on that.
Okay.
But yeah, no, it's just, I mean, cause I'm not aggressive, you know, I'm not, you know, like, I need to go out there and chase and tell. That's just not my personality. I'll go out, I have a good time, I'll dance, I'll drink, I'll socialize, but I'm not chasing anybody, and not saying I wouldn't have done it, but nobody was chasing me, so
yeah,
it didn't happen. So that's what it came down to. But no, it was hard, you know what I'm saying? You know, you always
yeah.
wanna, you know, you see something you like, and you wanna see what's up, but you know, my personality is not that of, you know, I'm gonna run it down. Earlier in my years, yeah, maybe that might have happened, but at that point I was older, so it didn't
yeah.
go down like that.
And I can, when we think about like trauma, most of the time when people think about trauma, they think of like big T trauma, as, you know, you would say being in the military, war, you know, sexual abuse and domestic violence and all of those types of things. But I guess we don't often think about, especially when it comes to the military, how, you know, stressful and how traumatic being away can be, and it can take a toll on the person who's being deployed, as well as their family, especially coming back home and seeing that your spouse was, you know, is or was for the streets. And when we think about trauma, you know, the difference between every, you know, this big trauma like war and all that kind of stuff and everyday trauma, or is the difference is that all trauma is just stress. Now, the difference between everyday stress and traumatic stress is the impact that it has on our bodies. And I can only imagine not only the stress of being underway, not hearing from your family or flying out there for the streets, but then what we hear a whole lot about is not only just the sexual abuse of women in the military, but also in the last several years, it has seemed like it has been an increase in suicide, especially in the Navy. We hear about it a lot of, you know, people on ships committing suicide and two or three sailors dying within days of each other. Can you speak on that?
So I've never had someone commit suicide at my command. I've unfortunately had two sailors die at my command, two separate commands, due to accidents. The first incident, the guy was, we were underway. This is like my, submarine, my second submarine, in Guam. And, we hit an underwater mountain, very traumatic. Yes, we were very deep, going very fast, cruising into some waters that were it was charted, but we didn't have the right maps, and we hit an underwater mountain. A lot of people got hurt very badly, and one sailor in particular was my sailor. He was one of my junior sailors, and he passed away of his injuries two days after we hit. So very traumatic. A lot of people tapped out. They couldn't do the job no more in the Navy, decided they wanted to get out of the Navy. Some people couldn't go on submarines anymore. And then the next sailor, he was just staying to watch. It was 4th of July weekend, and he slipped on some algae on the submarine and fell in the water. And because of his gear they had on, the ammo belt, the gun, the boots he was wearing, he couldn't bring himself back up and he drowned. And we had to bring everyone back to the ship. And I was actually topside when they pulled him out of the water. Something I really didn't need to see, pulling a lifeless body out of the water, but I saw that. So I've seen and experienced a lot of trauma during my naval career. And, you know, the best thing I can say for anybody who's experienced it or who's going through it is talk to someone. I'm a very, very, very prideful person. It's hard for me to just communicate and talk to people if something's going on with me. But I say you need to do it. Someone you can trust. Maybe it's not professional. Maybe it's just somebody you can trust and let the emotions out. Mm-hmm. And then after you let the emotions out, you know, and the pride comes down a little bit, you can communicate with somebody who's professionally trained to help you navigate it. Absolutely. But I've never experienced a suicide, which I would think is on the same level or more level, you know, a higher level, being that they did it to themselves. It wasn't an accident. Or you may have witnessed it yourself, you know, like I wasn't there when my man fell in the water, but I was there when they pulled him out. But absolutely, if trauma is trauma and people handle it differently, but what everyone should do if you're experiencing it and having problems with it, you need to seek help. You need to talk to someone. Because if you don't, what you're going to do is what I've dealt with is you're going to bury it, and it's going to come up again in some form, shape, or fashion. It's going to come up again, and it's not going to be positive. It could be drinking. It could be you're emotionally detached. It could be lashing out.
Anxiety.
Yeah, it could. Yeah, exactly. It could be anxiety. It could be a trigger to, you know, something, you know, out, you know, lashing out. Exactly. I don't lash out because, you know, I feel like I have pretty good control over my emotions, but, you know, everyone's not me.
Yeah.
Everyone handles their thing differently.
Yeah, and but, I can only imagine how these impact every other aspect of your life, whether it's continuing with your career or right. your family, your spouse, you're bringing all this home. We hear about all of the nightmares and different things like that. And it's usually associated with, you know, being on the battlefield or being out to war. But I don't think that any of us could ever imagine, you know, just something as simple as, you know, being on watch and seeing somebody, you know, go overboard and drown and how yeah. that impacts you, or being on the ship and running into an underground mountain and the traumatic impact of that, the traumatic impact of being away from your family and the traumatic impact of, you know, finding out that your partner was for the streets. So you have been through a whole lot over your last 26 years. I know you have a plethora of information to share with us. I would love the opportunity to have you back on our show again, because you were actually in the Navy when 9/11 hit.
Yeah,
And a trauma behind that. And also, you were also in when your boss, when you had one of the most amazing bosses of the world, our president, Barack Obama, but then also your boss was also Donald Trump. And I would love to have you back on.
I thought we agreed we don't say his name on the show.
Oh, that's what we agreed.
Yeah, we said we wasn't gonna say his name on the show.
Oh, okay. So he excuse me then. So he who shall not be named. Maybe
we can say the former president or president 45, however you wanna say it, but we don't say his name
45,
on the show.
45, we gonna say 45. So we know that your boss was also 45 and
DT, yeah, whatever you wanna say. Yep.
Yes, and his recent arrest, and I wonder, you know, what your insight is and things like that. Also, I just recently read about another airman who leaked classified information and things. So it's a whole plethora of information that I would love to have you back on our show sometime to talk about.
Absolutely. Enjoy next talk with Dr. West.
All right. Thank you so much, Senior Chief Anthony Baldwin, and I look forward to speaking with you again.
All right now.
Okay.
Hey, take care, everyone out there.
We do. Bye-bye. All right.